Welcome to Psychology Has It Backwards. This series will question the assumption that people are psychologically broken and need to be fixed. We will talk about how seeing people as innately healthy will change all of your interactions and outcomes. This is a true paradigm shift, and it simplifies the entire process of dealing with mental distress and allows for more profound and immediate changes.
Hello, everybody. And welcome to another episode of Psychology Has It Backwards. I'm Judy Sedgman, and I'm coming to you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I have the great privilege of doing this with my dear friend,
Christine Heath, and I'm coming to you from the Big Island in Hawaii.
And here we are together in each other's living room on Zoom. Anyway, what we want to talk a little bit about today is the work we do, the principles, the understanding of how the mind works, the understanding of the spiritual nature of life is not a profession. It's a personal experience, which then as we change, it takes us wherever we want to go in life or wherever we, you know, end up. But it's not like you say, okay, I'm gonna get a really good job if I take up this understanding. And over the course of years, I think that there has been kind of a shift from the way we all started, which was like we just kind of fell into it. It was good luck. You know, we'd meet somebody or go to a meeting or go to a dinner party or, you know, show up at an event and somebody would introduce us to somebody. And each of us kind of suddenly discovered that there was this other world of people that were living in a whole different state of mind. And we're really taking it to heart that you could be happy and you could be at peace and that, you know, stress was bad and stress comes from within us and all of these things. It was totally new to people back then. But it was so entrancing. It really was. You know, and I remember when I first met, the first three or four people I met, I thought, how could they possibly be that happy? I didn't know people that lived in peace of mind. Nobody in my world did. I was in business. And I was like, I just can't. It's almost like you thought, you know, they must have a drug of some kind. I got to find out what they're doing. And so I think as time has gone by, you know, it gets formalized. And we start making, you know, writing about it and talking about it and making kind of structures around it. And it becomes a professional pursuit or a career or a business. And actually what it is an understanding that will bring you joy and comfort and happiness and enthusiasm for whatever you do in life. Doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to become one of us, so to speak, one of us who talks about it informally and does it for a living in order to benefit and to find amazing insights about whatever work it is that you do or that you love. I mean, it doesn't matter. People could be a chemist or a teacher or a janitor or a policeman. It doesn't matter. It just matters the state of mind in which you live. And, you know, I think that that's, for me at least, I was never intending to end up where I've ended up. It's all been a matter of luck because I owned a business and I was running this business and it was successful. And it was very, after I learned about thought and about how the mind works and started to really get deeper into it, my business changed completely. My clients started to change and we were having a much more pleasant experience of being in business together. And I could have done that for the rest of my career, you know, because I already had opportunities to start branch offices. And, you know, I was thinking about expanding and all of that when I ran into the principals. And I just, you know, at the time, the thing that motivated me was there were so few people in the world who were doing this and such a great need in the world for people that had happiness and joy to share that I decided, you know what, I'm just going to see where this takes me. But it wouldn't have mattered. Looking back on it, I mean, you make choices and it always works out fine. Life takes you where you want to go. But if I'd stayed in business and never left the town that I was in and continued to do what I was going to do, I still would have created a whole different experience for the clients that came to me as medical practice management clients, because that's how this works. Mm-hmm. You change and the world changes around you.
You know, that's so true, because, I mean, that's just, again, how psychology and the rest of us see things backwards. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times what happens is that we're looking to be something. And that's in the world of form, right? It's like, instead of looking to be happy and do whatever you do, mm-hmm. because the principles are the most unbelievable understanding. It just makes you a better person. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a better person, you're a better boss, you're a better therapist, you're a better parent, you're a better friend, you're a better lover. Mm-hmm. It's like, It just makes you live in a different feeling. Mm-hmm. And then you do your life. But a lot of times in the world, people become like a Jungian therapist, right? So mm-hmm. I'm not we get into saying I'm a three principles therapist, but I'm just a really good therapist. And I have this understanding of the principles that helps me to help people in a way that makes me look like a really good therapist. But you know, like I had passion, I had commitment. I wanted to help people before I learned the principles. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't looking to get that so that I could help people. You see, that's what's backwards. Mm-hmm. You just want to see that if you see it for yourself, because if I hadn't seen this for myself, I wouldn't be able to help anybody.
Right.
And living your life in a more healthy state of mind will affect your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your colleagues. It's like everything is very different when we're coming from that place of being connected, where we're all one in the same. But when we get focused on what we're doing, we get into the intellect and then it becomes a thing. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that happens is that people become therapists or coaches in order to teach the principles. Well, that's backwards, boys mm-hmm. and girls. We got to see it that we want to be able to be happy. And then from that place of happiness and love, we'll see how to guide other people inside so that they wake up to their own answers. Mm-hmm. But even the idea of fixing somebody as a therapist or as a coach, you just backwards. So you're trying to fix them in a nicer way, in a more positive way, in a more, new and interesting way, but still just the intellect without the feeling. With that feeling, you can go into any job you want to. Mm-hmm. You can go into any relationship you want to. And you'll see a way to make it be a positive, healthy experience.
You know, that is a critical factor in life, too, is that, you know, it's like looking for happiness from the outside in. If I could just find the right job, or if I could just, you know, find the right friends or whatever. And the thing is that when you're at peace within yourself, you see the right thing. You know, you don't have to look for it. It's like, mm-hmm. it's hard to explain, but suddenly, you know, you notice things that you might have skipped over before. Mm-hmm. And you slow down. So opportunities look different. You know, you're not afraid to try things. You're not, somebody says, you know, have you ever thought about doing this or that? You might go, no, but what the hell, you know, I'll try it. Mm-hmm. And because we lose our insecurity about being a part of life. And we just feel very comfortable being a part of life. And we feel comfortable with strangers and we feel comfortable in new settings because they're all people Mm-hmm. It's all just, you know, human beings doing the best they can. Mm-hmm. And you lose your fear of other people or your need to impress anyone. And I think that that's what drives a lot of people, you know, into certain lines of work. I think, like, for example, now the principals have kind of become a hot topic, and people think, oh, I really need to be a principal's practitioner to be where, you know, in the vanguard of where the field is going. And that's looking at it from the standpoint of the intellect and the ego, not from I need to look to find peace and happiness within myself and then see where my intuition and my wisdom take me. I don't know where it might be.
And it is the only way to change the world,
mm-hmm.
is by going deeper into that state of consciousness and then seeing what life brings to you and what you know about whatever's coming your way. Right. So if somebody comes to you and, like, we just, I'm doing a work with a healthcare agency in Hawaii, and, wasn't on my mind to do this, wasn't even something I thought was a good idea. But nonetheless, one of my colleagues called and said, I have a feeling about this, Chris. I have a feeling about this, and I would like you. And she's talking to me. I said, okay, so what do you want me to do? She goes, well, I want you to do it with me. I was like, okay. And I still didn't really, like, have the feeling of it, but I knew, because she had that feeling, that there was something that we were, in a sense, in my mind, the way I think about it is we were being called to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once we have gotten into it, it's been a great, great experience. I get to, like, do things in a very different way than I've been doing. And it's been a really wonderful experience for me as well. But I don't know where it's going to lead. Maybe this is all we're doing, and maybe it's going to lead to something else. But when you are working in the world of the spiritual first, you know that what needs to happen will come to you as you go deeper. When you're living in the world of fixing what's wrong in the world, as we all know right now, the world is at a very dangerously low level of consciousness. And it's easy to get sucked into that, mm-hmm. and wanting to fix everything and get, like, lose your own mental well-being because you're worried and thinking about it. Mm-hmm. That's the opposite of what has to happen to change the outside world.
Yeah, that's interesting. I had a client that was talking to me about the situation between the Israelis and Hamas, and said, well, you know, I don't know why they just don't try to, you know, come up with some kind of agreement. And I thought, yeah, I reflected on that, and I thought, well, you know, there's been a lot of peace treaties made in the world that have not held, or that have led to further violence in the future. Very few times have people made peace with a piece of paper and a set of agreements. Well, this will work for me, and this will work for me, and I guess we can compromise. Because that isn't seeing the other party as a human party. It's seeing the circumstances that you can jiggle around until you find something that you can both live with, but it doesn't change the feeling. And I said, you know, the answer that I gave to the person was, you know, I just saw something on television about Israelis and Palestinians who are working together to provide aid to Bedouins who are Muslims living in Israel, who have nothing to do with the situation that's going on now, but they're living apart, and they are not treated equally because they're Bedouins. And so this aid organization was formed by Israelis and Palestinians, both of whom felt that they wanted to get to know these people and find out what they needed and see if they could draw them into the circle of we're all Israelis, because these are all people living in Israel. And I thought, that's what brings peace. because there were these people, they're very different, and the Bedouins were thrilled, you know, because they got to meet some people that they never thought they'd meet, and they were very sweet people when they were being interviewed, and very grateful to have an opportunity to get to know their neighbors and get to feel included. And then they would start, you know, you could see the children were playing with each other. You know, you see where this goes, that we're just people. And I thought, this is really how you find peace, is that you really, you know, we use the word innocence, see the innocence in other people, but it's probably a word that triggers people. Because what you're really seeing is that we all think our way through life. And what you think looks very real to you in the state of mind you're in while you're thinking it. And if people have a lot of negative thoughts and they don't know that they're the thinker and that their thoughts aren't really real, that's the illusion they're creating with their own thinking, they believe them. And they don't stop believing them because they sign a piece of paper. They stop believing them when they realize that my thoughts are as important to me as someone else's thoughts are to them. Because that's the reality that we're living in, given how we see the world at that moment, but we can change. And when people change, I remember I had a client one time, this is relevant to this, who said, I was trying to get him to sign a contract for something at the hospital. And he said, I don't believe in contracts. And I said, why not? And he said, because they don't mean anything. He said, I've never seen anybody sign a contract that they couldn't find a lawyer that could get them out of it. And he said, so I'm telling you, I've given my word. I am committed to this. The hospital knows that I mean it. I'm going to do what I've said I'm going to do. I trust the hospital. I know they're going to do what they said they were going to do, such as we all are now. And if something changes, we'll find a way out of the agreement. And we don't need a signed piece of paper and a lot of expensive lawyers to do that. And, you know, I love that. I look back on that and I think that was very wise. It's very, very not in keeping with good business practices, but it was very wise. And the same thing is true with peace negotiations, is that being able to sit across the table from a human being and see that person's soul and know that the power to think is as powerful for them as it is for you. And that being able to change your mind is being able to set your own thinking aside and really reflect and try to look for new insights together is the only way that you come to peace. And when you get to know people at that level, it holds with or without anything written down.
No, that is so important. What you're saying is that the feeling behind, I mean, I love that story of people kind of coming together, because that's really what happened with Roger, isn't it? Roger Mills, Dr. Roger Mills, who was one of the first psychologists to understand the principles and then start to have that affect the work that he did in communities. And if any of you are interested, there's a book called Modelo, which is a story that Jack Fransky wrote, and he went into research to see what happened after Dr. Mills brought this understanding to a very small group of women in a very low income, drug-infested, insecure reality. Mm-hmm. And what they were able to do when they started to understand that they were the thinker and that they had innate health in them was transform that community. I mean, it transformed. You have no idea, if unless you read that book, how many things changed. But like one of the things is 80-some% of people either went back to school or got a job. Like that is unbelievable. Like the results are so unbelievable. I think people couldn't accept it because it was just too good. But, you know, people living at that level of consciousness were trying to kill each other all the time. They were selling drugs to, you know, infect each other with the drug use. And, you know, like it was just a hellhole. And it transformed. It was interesting because it really transformed. The kids went back to school. The kids, you know, made a connection with the police to help the police to get the drug dealers out. I mean, alliances that you would never suspect. Mm-hmm. And all it really is understanding that it's just thought, that our differences are just thought. We're all the same. And when you stop taking your thinking so seriously and so personally, you stop taking other people's thinking so seriously and personally. And when human beings do that, they start to find common ground. And that doesn't mean that when people are living at those low levels of consciousness, that their thinking doesn't trick them into doing bad things to other people. And that's been happening across cultures, across peoples for generations, mm-hmm. thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And some cultures had a deeper understanding of listening to peacefulness and other cultures didn't. And those cultures tend to run over the other cultures. Yeah. So that's why we have to, everybody's got to kind of wake up to the possibilities that we have to live in mental well-being and what that means for everything, not just to coach somebody or help one individual person, but just think about this, like we're missing the boat if that's where we're focused. Although consciousness changes one person at a time, but we can do so much more beyond what we think we can do as long as we get out of the intellectual mindset that we're going to do this for to make a living.
Yeah, and the other, when people look at it as a way to make a living also, they fall into the trap of thinking there's something wrong with people and they have an answer for them and can fix them, mm-hmm. as opposed to bringing a beautiful feeling into a setting. Like Modelo, when I think about Roger going into Modelo, the people that actually affected Modelo was Roger came and went. And the social workers that were with him came and went, but the people that they drew that beautiful feeling and confidence and belief and faith in their own well-being and an understanding that they were just like all these people they were afraid of or hated, you know, that we're all the same. We're just making it up as we go and seeing it as real. And that gave them the courage to bring that feeling into dangerous places and change them. Because I think about the number of times that I've seen this happen in there's certain police that have that and they come with a beautiful feeling and they can walk into a dangerous situation and talk people down. And there are others that just walk in and start shooting. Mm-hmm. And all it is the level of feeling that the person has, the level mm-hmm. of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And that is that is the point that we're trying to make. The world will change when people start to see the beauty of being a human being, mm-hmm. not only in themselves, but in everybody around them, everybody they ever encounter, and draw that out.
And connecting with that feeling first, mm-hmm. and then get to know the person. Right. You know, it's like we just get to know each other with a set of thoughts, with a belief about the other person, what they think. And sometimes we do think things that are not that good. Mm-hmm. And so then other people recognize we think that. So then now you're somebody I should be afraid of or I should not like. Mm-hmm. And it's all just thought. Mm-hmm. And in order to stop hurting each other because we feel self-righteous about, you know, claiming land or doing whatever it is we're doing. In order to find a feeling, we have to understand that it's a human condition rather than a personal thing, that it's a result of living at that level of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And when people live at that level of consciousness, there's a lot of crap that happens. And the world has not been at a very high level of consciousness since the existence of time. Mm-hmm. And that's the game of life, I think, is really trying to find how to live at a higher level of consciousness, not to teach others to do it. Because if you do it yourself, you will share that feeling and they will wake up to whatever it is that they need to see. But you don't know what other people need to do or see. I don't know. I have a hard time knowing what I should do.
You know, Chris, it's funny. One of the first questions I asked the first person I met in the principles is, what is it that you know that I don't know? And the answer was nothing. And I said, well, how come I'm not as happy as you are? You know, how come I'm taking your problems more seriously than you take them, you know? Mm-hmm. And the answer was, you just don't know that it's all thought. Mm-hmm. You don't understand being the thinker of your own thoughts and creating your own reality. And I said, so that's what you know that I don't know. He said, oh, you know it. You just don't know you know it. Mm-hmm. And that's true. You know, when everybody comes to this understanding in a setting where they feel safe and at peace and are interacting with people who are living in that feeling as well. And suddenly the feeling is what wells up inside of you. And then you see things for yourself in your own words, in your own setting that are very meaningful to you, but that gives you the direction to go. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like I saw in myself that I really wasn't cut out to be, I didn't need to run a business. I remember thinking, you know, anybody could run this business. It runs itself once you get it going. And I wanted more than that. I wanted to do more than that in my relationships with people. I wasn't that excited about, you know, fixing their business practices. I was more excited about what was happening in our relationships when we would talk to each other and when they would, you know, get inspired and get, you know, start to dream and things like that. But I had to realize that for myself. If somebody had said to me, you should really sell your business and go, you know, do something else, I would have said, you're crazy. That's my living, you know. But when I saw it for myself, it was the obvious answer. And no one ever told me to do that. I just saw that that was my next step. And it was very clear to me. And everybody around me was saying, you're crazy. I don't know what you're thinking. Mm. And I said, you know, I don't really care. I know myself deep down that this is the path that I want to take. And that's the way you want to live. You want to live from peace and certainty, trusting your wisdom, because wisdom will never leave you with a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really have to get out of trying to fix the world and make money.
Yeah.
You get those two motives out of your mind and you will see a different reality. Mm-hmm. And you will be totally taken care of because you'll be listening for your higher intelligence to guide you and walk into a world that you don't know. But many people are terrified, and the thought of money terrifies them. Mm-hmm. And you know that's what do they say, money is a root of all evil. And you know that we've said that for centuries now, and yet we are all terrified that we won't have enough money. So that fear that we get from that just puts out more of that. So that's why, you know, like I've had people call me up and say, well, I've been working in these principles and I'm not making a six-figure salary. I was like, what does that have to do with it? You know, and that's the problem is you're still living in a world where you're trying to get security by doing something.
Yeah.
And this looks like something that's because somebody else was able to, you know, make a lot of money doing it. That somehow that means that you should be like them. But you've got to find your own way in life. We all have to find our own way in life. And what we want to be doing was changing the consciousness of the world right now instead of worrying about your own little problems, you know. And it's like the deeper you go and the more beautiful the life you have, the more you'll know how to do that.
And nothing outside of us will ever make us feel better.
No, you know, can't.
Because good feelings are innate to us. We have them always mm-hmm. available to us from within. Mm-hmm. And as my friend Dr. Bill Pettit always says, you can't get enough of what you didn't need in the first place.
That's true. I love that. That's so true.
Yeah.
It's the fun of it is, I mean, it doesn't mean that stuff doesn't happen in life. I mean, the world is kind of this random set of thoughts that people have. So everybody's making decisions and doing things, and that plays out in the world. So stuff happens, you know, but knowing that you're secure will guide you in a way that doesn't make things worse.
Right.
That doesn't contribute to that, that brings you back home to quiet down. So that you can see a different path.
So, as we end, to just say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear is just an insecure thought. And live your life looking for contentment and peace and happiness, and you'll find it.
Have a beautiful week, everyone.
Yeah.
Aloha.
We hope you heard something new and that you will continue to join us to challenge the prevailing thinking about the possibilities for health in everyone. To subscribe to the podcast, visit our website at psychologyhasitbackwards.com